Welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte. My second guest today is Janine Cabasel, a.k.a. the giant veggie gardener, a.k.a. the tomato lady at the Santa Fe Farmers Market. Welcome, Janine.
Thank you.
So Janine is a master gardener. She teaches master gardening classes. She grows giant pumpkins and other giant vegetables. If you go to her website, giantveggiegardener.com, you can see some of these enormous things, like a 448-pound pumpkin. She stands next to the pumpkin, so you can see that it's as big as a house. And she holds the record for giant winter squash at 345 pounds. Janine's also on the board of directors of Homegrown New Mexico, and she's going to tell us about a whole lot of things today. Hi, Janine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So where do you want to start?
Well, I think we should start with the weather. Being a gardener, we all have to be weather bugs, and right now we're in the shoulder season. We call it the shoulder season, which is not winter, it's not summer, it's spring, it's really iffy, and today and tonight are two good examples of what can happen from really beautiful warm days and nights to suddenly below freezing temperatures again. So.
I've been seeing a whole lot of plants in stores, though. They're trying to get us to plant our plants. Is it too early?
For many of them, for all the warm season crops, which I can go over in a little bit, it's definitely too warm. There's a lot of things we can plant. I just wouldn't suggest doing it today. We could, the shoulder season is that time of year when it's right now we had 25 degrees last night. So that's below freezing. So in my mind, that's probably just knocked off all of the fruit blossoms on the fruit trees. So most of us probably won't be getting much fruit. My apple blossoms were just starting to bud, and I'm hoping that there'll be more coming, because after tonight, really, it's going to be back up above freezing at night again. At night again, yes. And, they'll have a chance, but some of the stuff that's blooming right now, I don't think they'll have a chance. So in the shoulder season, there's things that we can plant right now, and we could have planted some of them since March even. Like you could have planted spinach on St. Paddy's Day outside because it really handles cold weather really well. And there's a lot of other cool weather crops that we can plant.
I'm taking notes here. Go ahead, Janine. What can we plant now?
I'll give you my notes afterwards if you like. So right now, a lot of the greens are really good. This is the time of year when lettuces are at their prime, arugula, spinach, collards, kale, so many things. Peas can be planted, Swiss chard can be planted now. Swiss chard could not be planted last month, but now in April it can. Because normally we don't even get a 25-degree night in April, but it still can handle it. There's lots of other things. Asparagus can go in now. I would plant beets and carrots by seed in the garden right now.
Wow.
Bok choys are really good right now. Broccoli's good. Brussels sprouts. Anything in the cabbage family is great.
So do the little seeds just know they just don't germinate until they're ready?
Well, no, that's not true, because if you planted beets and carrots last month, most likely they just sat in the soil and didn't germinate, because it has to do a lot with the soil temperature.
Temperature, yeah.
So, I have a thermometer, soil thermometer, went out, and before this cold snap, it was 57, 58 degrees, which is really wonderful.
You mean below the surface of the soil?
Correct, about 6 inches below where, maybe the plant roots would eventually end up growing. And last month, it was probably still in the 40s. So now, with this warming of the soil, we can plant a lot of these things by seeds. You could plant everything I just mentioned by seed right now out in the garden. But the thing is you need to cover it with some kind of protection in case we get some more cold nights. So I use a thing called row cover. You can buy it at any of the nurseries. You can't get it at the big box stores. But it's a type of fabric that you can lay it right over on the ground. The plants will push up through it. You can actually water through it if you want. But it helps with the wind, and it helps with the cold nights. It gives it about a 6-degree protection.
And how about those weeds? Does it help with the weeds?
No.
Oh, darn.
No. Well, it would help keep them warmer, so they would grow bigger and faster. So, yeah. No. Weeds are not good. So what I would say about weeds, because they're coming up all over right now, is if you take a hoe and you just scrape the surface of the soil, any annual weeds, and there's a ton of them out there, will just be cut off at the roots, and they won't come back.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Now, any perennials like dandelion,
yeah,
they will come back.
Uh-huh.
And so those you have to dig out deeper, and sometimes a couple times because you don't get all the roots.
Right.
So then you could put a pre-emergent on the ground after you do that, so that any weed seeds that you're stirring up when you're scraping the ground, as soon as you put this pre-emergent on, and if you want to go organic, I would get corn gluten.
Corn gluten.
Yes, and you can get that like at the feed bin, one mm-hmm. of the feed stores.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to order it, but you can get it, and it's usually in a pretty big bag. So if you want to share it, Hollis, with me, we can share it.
Okay. And it's just something you spread on top.
Yeah. And what it is, the corn gluten is not like cornmeal. Uh-huh. It's a byproduct of that industry, of the feed industry, and it's very high in nitrogen.
Uh-huh.
And so as the seedlings come up, it burns them.
The weed seedlings. But will it burn other things too?
It will burn nothing that's already up. In fact, if your reeds are already up and going, it'll fertilize them because it is high nitrogen. So it's about 9 or 10% nitrogen, which is pretty high.
So if you've weeded a huge, enormous, empty area or something like that, you could put this corn
yes.
gluten
yeah.
on it, and it would keep the weeds from coming back,
yes.
the perennials.
It'll burn the seedlings as they come up.
Aha. But you couldn't then plant vegetables in that space.
That's correct.
Okay.
So you have to be careful, you know, if you're going to plant other seeds,
it's
indiscriminate as to what it will burn.
And so what else can we do in the garden right now?
Well, you better be watering your plants and your trees, because even though we're getting maybe a trace of snow right now, we have not had very much moisture, you know, since December, really. And I recommend watering in December, January, once a month, and now I recommend watering once a week.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, if you have to hand water, you know, just put the hose out there by your trees and let it go.
On a trickle. Uh-huh.
And, you know, your other plants, you can just walk around if you don't have it on a drip, and you can hand water, stuff like that.
Because there's not, I mean, in a normal snow melt year or a normal snow year, there, if you could stick your hand, you know, 10 feet down and where your tree roots are, it would be moist, right?
Correct.
But we haven't had enough water this year, so
no.
It could really damage our trees.
Well, that's when we lose our trees, you know, people in the spring, and they say, oh, they didn't make it through winter. Well, probably mostly because they didn't get enough water.
Right.
You know, either mm-hmm. through snow or through our helping by hand watering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just turned on I do have everything on drips, and I just turned them on, and I watered for 2 hours on each section the other day because I haven't watered in a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to give it, you know, I see things popping up
uh-huh.
that are coming back.
Are your giant pumpkins coming up yet?
They're, actually, I planted the seeds last night.
You did?
Inside.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, what about the moon thing? Planting with the moon? Because tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning at 1:08, I think, is the full moon.
Yeah.
Should we be out there digging in the dirt?
Not unless you want your neighbors to think you're crazy.
You
know, the full moon, like they say, the new moon time is good for planting the root crops like carrots and beets,
mm-hmm.
and that the full moon is good for things that are going to be growing above ground.
Like lettuces and spinach?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so get out there in this freezing cold weather tonight and do it, if you're crazy enough. So, you know, I wouldn't do that right now. But, you know, anytime you're close to that, if you believe in that, I don't think it hurts. I mean, the moon has a major influence on the earth. Look, it creates the tides in the oceans. And
right.
What else can it do for us, you know, that we don't even know yet? But
well, it wakes me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I mean, I often wake up precisely when the moon is fullest.
Yeah, I was a full moon baby. I was born on a full moon.
Wow.
And every full moon, I always wake up. It's so odd.
Wow.
You know, and it doesn't matter if I'm in a darker room, I'll still wake up. I just know.
Uh-huh.
Somehow my body knows. So, you know, you could go... let's see, what else?
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about, there's an opportunity to buy some plants and things coming
up.
The Master Gardener's 10th Annual Spring Fair, you know about that, of
yes,
course.
Yes, I'm part of that. I'm in charge, one of the directors of the plant sale this year. We're going to have an unbelievable amount of plants, and we have some vegetables, we have a lot of perennials, some annuals, you know, we've gone and handpicked everything from these wholesale garden houses.
Oh.
And they're holding them for us right now, thank God.
And so the money goes to the Master Gardener Association?
Yes, we're a nonprofit organization. And our goal, I am a Master Gardener, and our goal is to, we help the communities. We help educate the communities. We go around, we sit at the nurseries, and we have tables, Ask a Master Gardener tables, where people come and, you know, they bring us a poor little plant. What's wrong with this?
Well, and we should say that when Janine says, I'm a Master Gardener, she's not saying I'm queen for a day. A Master Gardener is someone who has completed a very specific certification program.
Correct,
right?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
And don't they offer that out at the community college?
No, they offer it to the extension office down there on Rodeo, where the rodeo grounds are. And the interns are going in. This year's interns are already in the class. I'm the vegetable class instructor because that's my specialty.
And a giant veggie gardener lady.
Well, you know, and I grow a lot of other vegetables,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So this is the Master Gardener's 10th Annual Spring Fair, and it's on Saturday, May 3rd from 10 to 3 p.m. And where is it exactly?
Well, it is at the Rodeo Grounds.
Oh, it's at the Rodeo Grounds.
Yeah, so
great.
It's right on Rodeo there. Everybody knows where the Rodeo Grounds is.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
Instead of where the arena, where the rodeo, it's on the other side, where all the buildings are.
Where the buildings are, yeah.
You can't miss it. There's signs everywhere.
So there'll be speakers and demos and the plants for sale, and both vegetables and flowering plants, right?
Yes, and exhibitors. A lot of exhibitors will be there.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the nurseries are going to be there, and a lot of other people who have interesting gardening stuff.
I saw something recently outside of Joe's Diner, actually, and it's a little mobile cart. I don't know if you've ever seen these.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a child's wagon, sort of, with, what do you call that, Janine? A cover. It's like a hoop garden,
almost. It's a hoop house.
Yeah, a hoop house.
A little mini hoop house.
Cutest thing in the world, and I thought, you know, if I were living in an apartment or a condo and I had no yard, I would definitely buy one of those and have my own little mini garden.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I hear people all the time say, oh, I live in an apartment, I can't have a garden.
Right.
I lived in an apartment, too, when I was young,
mm-hmm.
and I always had a garden. I made some garden beds, you know, little square beds, and I bought pots, and I grew things like tomatoes in pots and other plants and little beds that I made. And it is possible, you know. I mean, I lived on I had a balcony. That's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely possible to get if you like to do that sort of thing, it's fun for me, vegetables to grow. You know, I mean, I never go to the grocery store to buy vegetables in the summer,
right.
ever.
Yeah. Well, the thing about having a garden is that a vegetable garden, especially something that nourishes you, is that, for me at least, when I've been able to do this in the past, that your life can be a total wreck. Your lover can leave you, you can lose your job, your car can break down, but if you have things growing in your garden that you can eat, you know, the difference that can make in your life and your sense of well-being is just, it's amazing. I mean, I'm sure that's part of why you and everybody else who's a serious, full-on gardener is in that business.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I don't have a therapist. I just go out in the garden and get my hands in the dirt and get grounded again, and it works for me every time.
And it's free.
And it's free. That's right. That's right. So I wanted to mention, though, some things you shouldn't be planting at all. Right now are the warm season vegetables.
Okay.
And so, you know, what are warm season vegetables? Well, obviously tomatoes and eggplants and peppers, melons, cucumbers, corns, beans, and any of the squash family, winter or summer. Those, you got to wait now till like May 15th. Because that's our first frost-free date, when they say, historically,
mm-hmm.
that we will not get another freezing night. Because
mm-hmm.
all of those items I just mentioned cannot handle any kind of cold. They like the heat. And, of course, right after May 15th, it seems like, you know, we get into 90-degree weather almost. And by June, we're hot. We're dying.
And what about herbs? Is that in that category, too?
No, herbs can go in probably, you know, I would put them in maybe late April, maybe first of May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, anything you put in into the soil is going to have some protection from the cool nights and the cold nights. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, go buy yourself some of that row coverage, the 10-by-12 foot sheets. You can cut them up if you need to. You can buy them online. You know, when you start to grow your tomatoes, I always put them in a thing called Wall of Waters, which is, you know, acts like a little greenhouse, and you can get those at the nurseries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you plant your plant, you dig a, you know, well around it so you can water it, and then you put these Wall of Waters on it, and there's instructions on it.
And they just drip a little water at a time
No. There's these cells. This looks like a little teepee, and they fill up with water.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what they do is the water heats up in the day and gives the heat back to the plant at night.
So it doesn't do anything in terms of watering the plant. It's just for temperature control.
Correct. It's like a little cloche, like in the old days you used to put, you know, big bottles over plants.
Yes.
To protect them from cold. But this is much better because they super heat up and then they give that heat back to the plant, and they say the protection's good for 6 degrees or so down below 32, so that's pretty good.
So, I don't want to get too carried away here because there are other things we want to talk about, but I'm assuming that if I don't want to go get row cover and I don't want to plant now, I could just wait till May 15th and plant my whole vegetable garden.
You could, but there's no way with our short growing season. We have about a 90-day growing season up here at our 7,000-foot elevation. There's no way you could plant by seeds, peppers, eggplants, and tomatoes. Those you gotta have to buy transplants. So wherever you get to buy your tomatoes, go to that nursery and buy them, and then just transplant them because there's just not enough time.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that explains why I only had like 2 peppers last year that were about the size of a quarter. In August.
Yeah. Well, you know, I put those peppers and eggplants in those Walla Waters, too.
Okay.
Because they actually like even more heat than tomatoes.
Interesting.
And I just keep them in there. And, you know, when the tomatoes come up over the top, I pull it off. And with the eggplants and peppers, I'll leave them on for a while till they get really well established and I can see they're starting to grow. And then I pull them off.
I just want to mention for people who might have just joined us, I'm talking with Janine Cabasel, the Giant Veggie Gardener. Actually, that's her website. GiantVeggieGardener.com, and she's also the tomato lady at the farmer's market, but not yet.
Yes, not yet. And I grow lots of heirloom tomatoes. I grow some really unusual varieties, which kind of sets me apart, and it's made my my own following. A lot of people like to try some of these really unusual heirlooms that, you know, I mean, I buy the seeds from all over the world.
Oh.
So I have tomatoes from Belgium, France, Italy, you know, Canada,
what
America.
What a way to impress your dinner party guests.
Yeah.
And these are Belgian tomatoes. Tell us about Homegrown New Mexico. That's another thing you're really involved in.
I am because, you know, I mean, growing vegetables, I just love it. It feeds my soul. And, you know, it's really becoming big for people to want to start their own vegetable gardens. People are tired of hearing every 2 weeks that there's some salmonella outbreak on their vegetables or this and that. And I think people want more control of what they're growing to know that they're getting healthy stuff. And so I joined this organization 4 years ago, Homegrown New Mexico. And the site there is homegrownnewmexico.org, all one word. And on there we offer a lot of free things for the public. We have classes, many classes. We have community potlucks where we usually have a guest speaker, and then we have questions and answers afterwards. People come and say, just like we're talking now, what can I plant? You know, what's going on? But right now I wanted to mention is this week we do have a community garden potluck this Wednesday. And so that's a really nice thing. People bring a dish and we share, and then it's for the community gardeners. Everybody can come together.
And where is that and what time?
That is at the Whole Foods Community Room on St. Francis.
On St. Francis.
It's a small Whole Foods.
At the small Whole Foods. And you just take a dish for the dinner.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
And
sometimes I just go next door and I don't have time when I'm working.
Go to the
deli. Yeah.
And so who's the speaker going to be?
Well, Reese Baker is supposed to be our speaker. He's a permaculturist. And I'm going to try and see if I can get his buddy here instead, because he just blew out his Achilles tendon.
Oh.
So he said he won't be able to make it this week, this Wednesday, 2 days from now. But I'm hoping to get Jeremiah, who works with him, and see if he'll come and talk about how we can do permaculture concepts in our garden, how to save water in our drylands. So that would be great. And if the public wants to come, it's open to the public. It's not a closed group or anything like that. Then on this Saturday, we have a class, April 19th, on raising backyard chickens. So,
and if you live in El Dorado, don't come.
Well, you know.
Sorry about that, guys.
I know. But, you know, if anybody has an inkling like, gee, I think I like a couple chickens for the eggs or whatever, and I don't know how to do it, this would be a great class to take. Now, if you want to find out more information on this, there's better descriptions, then you would go to that site, homegrownnewmexico.org, and all you got to do is look up at the top bar and look up the homegrown class section, and you'll see all the information about where it is, what time, and so on. The last thing I wanted to mention is that I'm teaching a class on growing great tomatoes, and I'm going to give all my secrets away of how I grow great tomatoes, and I do that every year, and I lose a bunch of customers. But, you know, sometimes they still have problems, and I get them back.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to be held at the Milagro Community Garden, which is behind Sam's. And there are instructions on the site to get there. That will be, because it's going to be an outdoor class, I'm going to show how to plant, how to use those wall of waters. And that's actually on May 10th, which is really just before the warm season crops
right.
We should go in. So it's perfect timing. And so, again, if you want to know more about that, go to homegrownnewmexico.org. And there's a whole slew of others. We've got composting classes. You know, this year I'm teaching how to make jams called Jam On.
Oh, yeah, I want to come to that so badly.
You know, we've got other classes. And, you know, these are lost arts, how to preserve the food. I mean, suddenly you get a ton of something, uh-huh. and you don't know what to do with it.
Right.
So, you know, we have these other classes.
That's great, Janine. Listen, do you have anything else on your list like that that you wanted to bring up? Because I want to talk about giant vegetable gardening.
Okay, I did want to say, again, I have this blog called GiantVeggieGardener.com. But it's not just about giant vegetables. It's also about growing all kinds of vegetables in at our 7,000 feet high elevation, which is very difficult in our short growing season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get anything out of this. I just like to share the information. It's, you know, I like to give back to the community, you know, and it's you kind of go through the trials of my successes and failures through the whole season each year. So it's a really good thing to go. I get a lot of people. I have 178,000 people visiting it.
Wow.
I get a lot from other places in the world as well.
Uh-huh.
And it's I think it's a great site to go for information. And you can there's just a whole garden topic list on the right side. So if you didn't want to scroll through 4 years, you could just
you
say,
could just click on the top.
I want to go to tomatoes and see, you know, the posts that I've done about that.
Uh-huh. And plus, you can see the pictures of Janine with the giant vegetables. How did you get into growing giant vegetables?
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, I became a master gardener, which made me a better gardener. And that's actually how I got to the farmer's markets, because I had so many tomatoes one year. I called them up and said, listen, I got these organic heirloom tomatoes. Can I come sell them on Saturday? They said, no. I said, I can't? They said, no, but you could come on Tuesday. Saturday's all booked. All the tables are taken. But Tuesday we were open, so I went and I sold the tomatoes. I'm getting to the giant thing. And so then, you know, I went and I started getting this following. And so then the next year I made sure that I had enough tomatoes to sell at Saturday's market, and that is my market day for that. Now, what happened then after that is I started looking for new challenges. Oh, what else can I grow? And I saw this show one night on PBS called Lord of the Gourds.
Yes.
And it's about these people growing these giant pumpkins. And they name them, they play music, they sing to them,
they
put
it's
blankets
fabulous.
On them. Uh-huh. And I thought, you know, I got done looking at that and I thought, what a bunch of nuts. And then the very next year, I decided to try some. So I got some, you know, generic giant pumpkin seeds, and it's actually...
Where do you get giant pumpkin seeds?
Just Google it, and there'll be all kinds
online.
Of places you can get.
Yeah. Okay.
And anyways, I did mine the first year through Amazon, and they were not anything special like world records or anything like that, but, you know, I started it, and I grew 250-pound tomatoes. I mean, pumpkins.
Even here in high altitude, the season is long enough to grow those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, of course, if I was, you know, somewhere in the northwest and the northeast where they get a lot more water and a lot longer daylight hours, too, by the way, in the summer, because we're so far south, we actually don't have as many daylight hours here. And so if I did that, I could grow them even bigger. But my biggest I grew was 448 pounds. I held that record. I beat my own record. The first year was 3-something, 57. The second year was 448. The third year, this young whippersnapper from Albuquerque beat me, and he grew. That was 2 years ago, and he grew. He put him in the ground on St. Patty's Day, but he lived in Albuquerque.
Oh, cheater!
And it was cheater. I should have a handicap. And so he beat me, and he's like 503 or something like that right now.
Yeah, 503. Wow.
So now, of course, every year we have this friendly competition, you know. And he just wrote me and said, "Hey, I saw your list. It looks like you're going to do good." And you know, I do have a bit of a handicap, so I start them early. I bring them inside. They're all inside growing. And then I will put them outside when the weather gets a little warmer, and I will protect them for sure.
There's got to be a way to make money off of this, like have a betting contest, like a football pool, only it's about giant vegetables.
Yeah. You know, it's really a thrill, like in July and August, when you go out and you look at your pumpkin starting to grow, the baby pumpkins start to grow and get bigger, and they can put on 18 to 20 pounds a day here.
So you can almost see it grow.
Yes. You do.
You see,
oh my God, it looks so much bigger. So I get a tape measure, and there's a way to measure it, and then see how big it is.
How do you weigh it?
You don't. Only through the measurements, and they give an estimate. There's estimates. And then come harvest time, I take it to the contest in Colorado, Colorado Springs, which is a national contest, because there are no national contests in New Mexico.
I have so many questions, though. How do you move a 448-pound pumpkin?
Eight strong men.
And what do you do with the 448-pound pumpkin after all is said and done and it's won its awards?
Okay, so I bring it back. I stick it in front of our studio, which is liquid light glass, which is over off of Bach Street, next to Counterculture. And we have it on display for a month. And then at the end of the month, the first Saturday of November every year, this year will be the 5th annual pumpkin bash. And we take axes and awls and all the guys who've been helping me move these things around and other friends, and now we get the public coming.
Do you take it to your house or
No,
we do it right there in the parking lot?
Yes, we take it in the parking lot and we have, you know, we take it at 9 in the morning and we take an axe, we draw straws, and that's how we, you know, do it, and then they take what they want and then I give the rest to charity. Food.
You're such a good old gal. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Janine Cabasel, the giant veggie gardener. She's also the tomato lady at the farmer's market. And she was telling us the Master Gardener's 10th Annual Spring Fair is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the rodeo grounds. You can go to sfmga.org for more information about that. And another website you might want to check out, homegrownnewmexico.org. Thanks, Janine, for being with me.
Thanks.